welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. And Dad, Cindy, Dell, we're still kind of in lockdown and still no sports going. And that's why we still waiting for my bookie. They're talking about we have
you
to
know, wait. It's funny, Tim. We were just sitting around here talking. And we're telling funny stories. I was telling funny stories. And I'll just tell you a couple of funny stories before we get started. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cindy thought that's funny, and Del and
you were. We laughed.
We laughed, so I thought it's funny. And we were in Providence, and Del's a goalie too, so he thought it was funny. So Bobby Perreault.
Who were you playing for?
I was playing for Rochester. Rochester was playing in Providence, Providence Reds, a very good club. And I think it was in the second period. It was all smoky, eh? It was really great, great atmosphere. Everybody smoked. It was great atmosphere. So he said, time, and he left. So the other team thought he was hurt, and we thought he was hurt, and everybody thought he was hurt. Something happened to him. So he come back in about 5 minutes, and so I was one of the guys who went back. I said, hi, Bobby, you okay? He said, oh, yeah, I'm okay. I said, what happened? He says, oh, no, caca, just had to go caca. and that's what happened. Remember? I never, ever, of all the times I played a long time, I never had to go, and that's he's all, oh, nothing, caca. Bobby Perreault, he was a funny little
remember
guy.
He used to kiss his ring before every...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he used to kiss his ring. It was a tradition. Like right when you're ready to do the draw.
He was pretty good, too. He went to Boston, and I think his first game, he got a shutout or something. I forget. What was the other story I was telling? It was funny. Oh, it was Bodo Orvin Tessier. No, I shouldn't mention his name, but anyhow, I'll mention any. I guess I can mention
too late now.
Yeah, mention now. I remember Bill Chevette. They call him Bill the Destroyer Chevette's. Boy, he was a big guy. He was really mean guy, and he looked mean. And he was one of the guys who were in Spokane. Anyhow, he really creamed Orville, and. At the end of the first period.
So where were you playing?
I'm playing for Springfield, and Orville's playing for Springfield, and Punch Imlach. Punch Imlach, this is before he went to Toronto Maple Leafs. He was a great guy. I remember one time in Cleveland, he said, Bob Armstrong and Thingamabob, and I wouldn't go on. He called me Thingamabob. So I didn't play for the rest of the game.
Well, no, you were telling us a story about...
Or Tessier. Oh. Okay, so... He really got creamed from behind. Really, really creamed. But he wasn't hurt, but he was really hurt. Or bang. So Punch comes in, and so we're sitting there in Springfield, and he starts taking his equipment off. He's, well, he's one of those guys that takes his equipment off in between, you know, he sees much of the guy. Hey, Charlie, now he get down. He got down to his underwear. This is kind of strange. He takes his skates off. So Punch comes in, and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm not playing in this league. And Bunch says, what do you mean you're not playing this league? He says, no, I'm going back to Quebec League. He says, this league's nuts. And he did. He says, well, I'll suspend. He says, I don't care. Suspend me. And he went back and played for Quebec Aces, or one of those teams. But he wouldn't play in the American League. Boy, that was big time high. That was, what did Peter McNabb call it?
Big boy hockey.
Big. And you know, Tim, it's funny. They keep playing that. LAK game and Toronto game.
Yeah, the 1993 it was, right?
Yeah, 1993.
Game six between LA. Oh,
and he played over and over and over. How'd Carey Fraser ever miss that? How could three guys miss that cut on Gilmore?
Yeah, right. Well, there's a whole kind of a story behind that. Do you want to get into that now, the 93?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's set it up. It was semifinals. And Montreal looked like they were going to get into the final. So everybody was hoping Toronto-Montreal final,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
so
boy.
That was a big
one. Wouldn't that be something?
So Toronto was up 3-2.
3-2
going back into LA, and you and Ron were in the stands.
We walked in the morning skates. We go to the morning skates all the time. And I watched the LA Kings morning skate, and I just started, and I said, they're not winning. They're not winning this series. And Ron says, what are you, nuts? He said, they're up 3-2. They got only have to win. And I said, no, they're not winning.
Did you see in Toronto?
I don't know. They were fooling around. And you can fool around to a point. But they were fooling around. They thought they had it wrapped up, Montreal. and L.A. was really serious. So Ron disappears. And I'm thinking, no, I guess he's gone. He disappeared. And Ron told me 2 years later that I had given their coach, Barry Melrose, a hard time about his long hair, something about calling Billy Ray Cypress or something.
Well, let me jump in just for a second, because what happened, where that all started was, remember in game one, Dougie Gilmore cut across center.
Oh, yeah.
And Marty really corked him.
Oh, he did.
And then Wendell came, and there was a big...
Oh, it was a beauty.
It was a big fight. And then Barry Melrose was kind of making fun of Pat Burns, and they almost...
Oh, yeah.
They almost started to fight.
I remember that. I was happy to be standing there. He let on he was fat. He blew up his nose, and then Pat wasn't fat. He was a good looking guy, and he went. They tried to get at one another
because the benches were on the same side. There was nothing between them. Yeah, back in the gardens.
They have that clip all the time. They used to show it on Hockey Night in Canada where he's pointing. Pat Burns is pointing, and that's what the picture is of him yelling at Barry Melrose.
Well, there was no need to call him fat to start with, and it was a bad feeling anyhow. So
then what happened was you got mad. Then you went on and made fun because Barry Melrose had the mullet of mullets.
He had the mullets, and his backups had mullets too. And he said, and now that it comes back to me, he said that the only reason he keeps his hair long is to upset his father. His father said, "Why you know, that was sort of a outlaw thing and everything like that.
Well, you rebel.
Yeah, something. He said, he was only kidding. He said that about his father. So I come on and just ripped him to shreds.
And then
Wendell Clark's dad and Barry Melrose's dad were sitting watching the game, and Hockey Night in Canada was out there filming them
because they're both from Calvington or the new Calvington, Saskatchewan.
So they were watching at the game. They were back in Canada.
And I just ripped a guy to shreds. Oh, boy, was he mad. And you know, you're funny, your father, you get a little upset. So now you get all this set up. So now we go into the morning skate, and Ron disappears. And he didn't tell me this until about 2 years later. I said, and he says, you know what happened then? He said, the PR guy come up to me as we were walking in and we were sitting down. He said, the coach wants to see you. And he says, who's it? He says, Barry Melrose wants to see us in his office. He says, okay. So he just kind of glided away. So I didn't even notice. I was just watching the thing. And what Barry Melrose had asked him to come down to his office. Now, Ron had to come down and walk through the dressing room. And Barry Melrose said, I don't appreciate what Cherry did on Hockey Night in Canada. And he says, I want him to apologize.
Apologize on air or to
on
him?
On air and the whole deal. And Ron says, are you nuts? If he finds out that you've invited me down here for that, you'll get it twice as bad. I said, he doesn't know where I am right now, and I'm not telling him. So... that's exactly, and what happened was that I still give it to him my next game, and you know what? I never met him till the All-Star game in Rochester, New York, and we were opposite coaches or something, so we made friends, I guess, like that. But anyhow, that was all from that 93 series. Yeah. That was, and they play that every. I mean, you can't turn the TV on.
Yeah. Well, that. And that was some game, though. I mean, that was as I don't think you know. Well, Wendell Clark getting the hat trick and Dougie Gilmore, and those two guys were just unbelievable.
Story, Wendell told me the time. This is a true story about Dougie. He looked like death warmed over. Boy, he was great. He was good in that Calgary series. They play that too. But anyhow, get back to that game. That he said after the game, he says we'd be sitting in the trainer's room, we'd be all having a beer and. A piece of pizza, and Dougie be laying on the trainer's room having an IV put in his so he didn't have any strength left.
Yeah, that was something. So people who don't know, but in case this, so the whole thing happened. There was late in the game, and it was tied, and Wayne Gretzky clipped Dougie Gilmore with a stick.
This is like you people that have watched the game say like this. So he just called a penalty on. Anderson before for roughing.
No, he calls it. He called after that.
Oh, he did call after?
It was after the thing. It was even worse.
Jeez, I thought it was before. So anyhow, I mean, it was clear as a day. You know, I mean, it's okay to, one guy should have caught it anyhow. And how does he think he got cut? And I'm not blaming Gretzky or anything, but boy, Gretzky gets the winning goal. Now, he wouldn't have, first of all, he wouldn't have been on the ice. He had a 5-minute major because he cut him. And second of all,
well, back then, too, the rule was if you cut a player with a stick, it was an automatic 5-minute major. That how many times they changed the rules, but that was the rule back then.
Yeah.
If you high-sticked a player and cut him, it was automatic 5 in a game.
Did Dougie have to leave the game?
No, he stayed in the game, and they didn't put too. I don't think Pat Byrne saw it.
No, they didn't put up too much of a fight.
They did, but
the worst thing was, as you said, was Frazier giving a boarding penalty to Anderson.
Yeah, it was like roughing.
Anderson roughing.
One of the roughest games I think I've ever seen. I think Wendell got a hat trick.
Wendell got the hat trick. Yeah. They pulled the goalie. Wendell got the hat trick, and then Gilmore got cut, and they didn't call it. And then, like a minute later, called Anderson. He hit Rob Blake, and Rob Blake didn't lay there. He got up.
No, he got up right away.
He got up right away, and then he started the power play. So he didn't.
Oh, one of those.
And then Gretzky scored the.
How three guys could? I think it was Gretzky. Eh? I mean, it was so obvious. I'm cutting him, and
that was a biggie.
And you know what? I know a lot of people don't realize that. They don't see it. You know, they don't remember it. But if you remember that one, that would have been a Montreal-Toronto series. Oh, boy.
But going back to in Game 7, Gretzky was unbelievable.
Oh, unbelievable.
And he said that. Gretzky said, he goes, that was his best game he ever played was Game 7. And
I
remember he banked the puck off of Ellett's skate to put them up, and then the Leafs came back to cut it to one. But
Dougie was great in that one too, though.
Yeah, boy, that was.
And then they show two games over and over and over. They show when Calgary won the cup there, eh? And Dougie got the winner and got the tire. I tell you a funny story about that one. Was I don't know what I was doing late, but I was a little late, and Dougie wouldn't go on the ice till he shook my hand. Because every time he shook my hand, he got a goal. And here he was in the hallway waiting for me. Jeez, I ever feel bad that game. And I shook his hand, and by God, he got the winning goal and the tire. What a great tire it was, too.
Yeah,
right?
No, that was...
Mary caught the guy kind of flat-footed and give it a little gaucho going.
You know, you and I were talking, Dad, that we're watching those games. There just seems to be more flow in those games than now. And I don't... You kind of go back, why? Is it because of the red line? Is it because of one referee?
You want to know my theory? I think it's the commercials.
Well, that could be. No, I don't think so, but not in the playoffs.
I think that, like...
You're right, though, in the playoffs.
Like, they don't go backwards. You know, like you watch the games now, they get the power play, they'll go backwards and stuff like that.
Well, and when they want to make a change, both teams want to make a change, the defenseman will get back of the net and stand there, and both teams will change. Whereas then nobody didn't even know they changed.
No, it's
like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of minor midget hockey.
Is it longer shifts?
I don't know what it is. I don't think it was. Well, I don't know what it was, but it seems to be different hockey. It really is different hockey. You can't knock the hockey now because the guys can skate, they can shoot, everybody can shoot. You can't knock the players, but it just seems to me.
It just seems like, you and I have said that when we've gone to minor midget hockey watching the games, that there's more flow in.
It goes, and you don't even notice them changing.
No.
They change on the fly, eh? What happens is you have to really be sharp on the bench, as I know. But you have to be really sharp on the bench because you never know when the guy's coming. And then maybe, I don't know, the minor midget hockey,
well, you know, like
15
you,
minutes.
Yeah, but you even said, like, I just wonder if it is the red line that
Bobby Orr, you know, Bobby Orr thinks it is the red line. He says it's just too fast. The hockey is just too fast now, and the reason is it's too fast. I was watching, funny thing, I was watching 4:30 this morning. Todd Gill just got creamed. I mean, now that would have been, you know, And then Scott Stevens made the Hall of Fame. Now he'd be put in jail for the hits he had. Oh, and he hit a guy who, I think it was, Scott Stevens hit Todd Gill home, just like running into a post. And
well, we have on, we put up on your Twitter account a picture of you and Scott Stevens and Steve Eiserman. And
you look at
Scott Stevens' arms. They're just huge.
Oh, yeah. And does he ever look good, eh?
Well, those two guys, holy smokes. Yeah.
Jimmy Loftus and I, the bartender, we had a lot of nerve being in that picture.
I know. My wife looked and said, who are those two guys?
And Stevie Eiserman, he looked like a movie star, eh?
Yeah, he was really young then, too.
I'll tell you, Scott Stevens, he should have been in the movies. I mean, I forget his wife's name. I should have found her name. I remember one time, I used to be able to go and sit up, and I was sitting up way up high. I used to like to watch the warm-up, eh? And she was sitting, I was sitting on the aisle, and way up on high, and she's sitting up there, and I said, I don't know why I think it's Diane. It's not Diane. But anyhow, I said, what are you doing away up here? She's like, exchange my seats. I said, you sit right next to the glass. She says, I'm not sitting next to the glass. And I said, well, how come? She says, I drove over with Scott, and he had that look in his eye. And he says, and I don't want to see what's going to happen tonight. And that's the time he hit Lindros. I mean, this guy, I mean.
We were going to talk about, but we kind of missed it. It was, I forget what year it was, but they called it the St. Patrick's Day Massacre.
Oh,
and
man.
That's when St. Louis and Chicago and him and Davey Manson.
Remember that? And they called, and it was a schmozzle going on, and, you know, nothing going on. And they tapped, like Davey Manson tapped him or?
Yeah, they were kind of going at it the whole game. There was a kind of a brawl at the beginning, at the end of one period. And then there was kind of a bit of a schmozzle going on at the end of I think it was the second period. And they went out to center ice, and they went Manson was kind of going after him a little bit, and then they were trying to get at each other. Then finally,
and
it was like two guns. It was like right out of the movies.
and I remember them taking off their elbow pads.
Pads, yeah, they had their helmets off.
And they had the helmets off, and they took and boy, what a fight that was!
Yeah,
and Scott Stevens can really throw them.
Yeah, Manson too. And
Manson. I remember him coming on the. Grapevine show, and he says, I really apologize. And he just got there in time.
Yeah.
And back in those days, we were the only sports store in any, and he left at 4:30 that morning, traveled all day, 12 hours, and he got there that night, and he was apologizing. I think his throat was okay then.
Well, he got hit badly with a puck in the throat, and he still had that really raspy voice. Talk like that, yeah.
He still talks like that. I guess they can't fix it, eh? Because he's still...
Well, I was watching...
His son's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I like him.
Well, I remember watching a game, and his son was playing, and they were talking, and somebody was talking about his dad. The play-by-play guy says, how tough was his dad? The guy goes, we didn't call him Charlie Manson for nothing.
I remember him when he was... Ronnie Finn was it? I remember Ron Finn was the linesman, and he was going off the ice. Remember they used to
Yeah, it was in Toronto, and there was a big
schmozzle going on, and he had one foot off and one foot on, he's not off the ice, and Ron McLean was just starting out, and I said Ron Finn didn't have him off. Oh no, he's going to get. He was a twerp back then, you know, like the rest of them are now, and he said. No, he's going to get 10 games. Well, no, you can't give him 10 games because he'll get 10 games for that. Oh, boy, and he got 10 games. And he wasn't really off the ice. You know, I remember.
Well, you gave Ron heck because you said, once you say it on Hockey Night.
Once you say on Hockey Night in Canada, he should get 10 games, he'll get 10 games. And he got 10 games for that, and I don't think he did anything coming back. He just hit one foot on and one foot off.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, Ronnie Finn had him.
Yeah, and that was the guy. I remember you coming home saying, that stupid Ron. He goes, he's going to get 10 games because of it, and sure enough, he did.
He got 10 games for nothing. And you know, that's what that's the old day. If you go back on the ice, you're done. Not like the old days.
Well, that's the referee coming out and Ron.
Well, he was just starting. He was stupid back then.
So I'm gonna throw something at you, Dad. Here's something. It was 40 years ago today that you coached your last game in Colorado. It was a 5-0 win over Pittsburgh.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah.
Is that? You know, I have to tell you that game. I'm kind of bragging, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. I remember that game. We had a pretty good crowd. We would have had a sellout, but they had the worst storm of the year.
Oh yeah, I remember that. It was snow and ice, and
we still had 12,000 there.
Yeah, just about 12,000 people.
And I never forgot that game. I had cowboy boots on and the whole deal.
Had a cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat. I knew I was done. I remember they had something in the paper. Should Don Cherry be fired? And they had 3,200. That I shouldn't be fired, and 52, I remember, forget, and 52 that I should be fired, and I remember saying, I didn't know Ray Miron had 52 friends. Anyhow, we had a pretty good club. We had a good club. We had, you know, I have to tell you, when you see a commercial on the Goldfish, they have the little things you eat there.
Yeah.
And I see the, you know, passing the puck back and forth, and I see the one Goldfish shoot. And he scored, and that reminds me of Hardy. No, it really does. I mean, he used to let goals in, that, you know, and I think I was at fault. I couldn't stand it. And anyhow.
But so everybody's going to say, yeah, but.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you won 5-0. But
so he must have got a shutout.
No, Bill McKenzie was in net.
Oh, Bill McKenzie, what a great guy. You know, Bill McKenzie, if we had have had, I remember when Bill McKenzie got, when corked. It was Wincing sliding into him. Remember that?
In Boston, yeah, because we were on a bit of a roll, didn't we?
We beat Boston in Boston. We tied Montreal, and we beat Quebec. And we were on a roll with Billy McKenzie.
So how did it feel when you were going back into Boston? You saw your guys there, John and all this.
Was sad. I didn't say anything to the guys. We have to win on account of me. But by God, we beat Boston right in Boston. But anyhow, getting back to that game, we won 5-0, and the crowd went nuts, and everybody's happy and everything. I knew I was getting fired. I was getting fired all the time. But so I never forgot. I got on the ice, and he had to go on the ice to get off the ice, like he had to go across. And I remember the players. I remember the players doing this. The last time I coached, this is a true story, the players put their sticks up like swords. Remember that, Tim?
Yeah.
And they all stood there at attention with their sticks like swords, like it was a canopy going off.
Yeah.
That was my last game.
Yeah, that was the last game in Colorado. You had a couple more in, that was the last game at home you played.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he played.
Anyhow,
because we get to the last game was, remember John Ferguson wanted the first round pick, and he put the
was in Winnipeg.
That was the Winnipeg. That was the last
game.
That
was the funniest one. Okay. Hardy played that game. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they had to lose that game to get the first round pick. Who was the first round pick?
They wanted Babich.
Oh yeah, he was the big guy, Dave Babich. Yeah, he was a big defenseman. Anyhow, I'm doing the game, and I want to win. But he put in his second string goalie. Who stood on his head. That happens every time. You put in the second, yeah, well, I'll show you. Then, you know, you want to win. Yeah. So he stands on his head, and Hardy's doing his thing.
For spite.
And I'm watching John Ferguson upstairs. And John, he wanted that first round pick so bad. And his goalie is standing on his head, and Hardy's doing his thing. And you know what I remember about that game? Two things I remember of John when we won the game. Ripping out the phone and throwing it up against the wall. And I am watching this up on the thing. And I remember Mike Christie, great guy, Mike Christie, he was a great guy. He had the goalie over to the side. Or he had the guy with the puck shooting at the side. And guy just shot the puck, and Hardy did his thing and fumbled around, and it went in. And I remember him laying up against the glass with his hand. What more can I do? I mean, that, you know, that Hardy, he was a pretty good guy, but he just couldn't stop pucks. I mean, he was, I don't know. I think I helped, but I remember Arthur Poen. He was a stepson of Arthur Imperatore.
Right.
Yeah. And he says, don't say anything about the goaltenders. Oh, Mike, it's easy for him to say. Yeah. Easy for him to say, don't say anything about the goaltenders. You would shoot a team. I remember one time, we went into Edmonton when they had the real good club. I mean, they're just smoking. And we were out shooting them like 2-1, and we were losing 1-0. Like Hardy. But the one I remember, we didn't have Hardy, and we had the other guy in. I don't want to mention his name. And we outshot St. Louis in St. Louis 10-0. We're out shooting them. And one of their guys stepped over the red line and just fired the puck, just shot it on net. And it went in. And I looked up, and we're out shooting them 10-1, and they're leading 1-0. It was an awful time. But I'll tell you, we had a good we had a good team. We had a lot of good guys,
yeah, it was, as they say, it was 40 years ago, and beaten
40 years.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh had a good team back then, and you know, you could just see we're on the cusp. But again, we talked about this. There was that whole, you know, you left, and then what, a year later or 2 years later, they did a midnight run and were New Jersey. So, you know, did they really want an extra 150,000 fans they had? You know, that
We drew 150,000 more, you know,
fans. So was that their game plan, right?
Yeah. Remember, we went down and we cleaned out at the office. We had a cart. We took all the stuff. I don't know.
Remember that? So we went down to do that, and Bob Seger was playing that night with McNichols, right? That was what it was.
Yeah, McNichols.
So you were going, and I think you wanted a couple moments alone, and so you said tips. So I went out and I listened to him doing a sound check.
Oh, yeah?
He was playing down on Main Street, and then I listened. So I was front row for about a minute, and then the couple of ushers grabbed me and threw me out, but I remember.
I was stupid. I should have kept my mouth shut. I think it was $45,000 that if I didn't get hired back again. So So I remember Eagleson asked me to go overseas, and I antagonized them. And they had a guy named Billy McMillan, I think it was. He was in the GM or something, going to be GM next year. And they stiffed me for 45. And I remember, Eagleson went in and, well, we're going to give Cherry $10,000 to keep him quiet or something. I would have been happy. And I took him to court, and I won. But I won the court case, but they never paid me the money anyhow.
Well, because I think they pulled the midnight run, and then they closed down the company.
Yeah.
Right? So they were from the Rockies. He sued the Rockies.
Yeah.
And
cleaned out.
Then they grabbed all their sticks and stuff, and then...
Gone,
and they were the New Jersey Devils.
They were New Jersey. And the guy I had as a lawyer, we won the case, all right? He'd give me a $10,000 bill. I said, wait a minute, give me a $10,000 bill. And I kept saying to you, we should take, you know, don't let them put a lien on them.
Yeah, you wanted to put a lien on all their equipment.
All the equipment, they wouldn't have been able to, they would have paid me the 45. Oh, no, they're honest people. Boom, gone. And then he sends me a bill. But anyhow, I get stiffed all around in that day. That was my last time coaching anyhow. And then I went to the Hockey Night in Canada.
But you got your true calling.
I didn't know what it was at the time.
Because you stayed after that. You stayed in Colorado because you were in high school, Tim.
Right.
So you stayed there one or two years more in Colorado.
Two more years.
Two more years.
I flew every time. I had to fly to Chicago and change in Chicago all the time. I knew Chicago and fly in and stay at the Westbury. And it got to the point I got the same room all the time, and I put the beer in the toilet.
Remember that because I was living in Kingston then, so I would drive up to Toronto or Montreal to see you. And I remember, I'll never forget when I saw that. It was two places where you'd, that was funny. I'd say, Dad says, well, we'll have a couple beers after. Come to my room, we'll have a couple beers after the game. All right. But I never saw you ever going out to get the beer, and I thought, because you have people to go out and get beer. So you would have the beer in the same room, and you'd have a 2-4 up in the ceiling and all this. But then I thought, well, if it's up in the ceiling, how it's going to be warm, right?
Yeah.
So then, remember what you used to do? You used to put about 4 or 5 beer in the back of the toilet seat tank to get cold. So these were the secrets that I learned from my father.
Remember, you were driving me to the airport, and the policeman was there.
And radar.
Yeah, with the radar, and he was looking up in the sky or something.
Oh, man, because I was really
yeah, we were late or something.
It, you know, and they had the radar. You got all flustered trying to catch me with this radar gun. I had that good old 74 Monte Carlo.
Oh,
boy,
great car.
I drove fast.
Yeah, boy. And you know what? I still have one of those T-shirts that I picked up at a bargain. I still go to bed with that blue T-shirt.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, and it's still going. And the... Boy, I remember those days. I used to have to fly there every game and stop in Chicago and then do the game that night. Stay at the Westbury.
Well, Dad, I think we're going to wrap things up here now, and then on the Thursday edition.
You like that, Tim? That the players put their sticks.
You never saw that. It was like. I remember Mom saying. She says that don't they do that when the royalty gets married?
No, when a captain gets married and the troops or the second in command always have their swords, and you see it once in a while.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know, I
don't know who started that. I wonder who was the guy that...
I think Rene Ribeiro was one of the guys but all the rest of the guys, and can you imagine going off and knowing your coach is going to be fired and putting your stick up and going off. And that was my last game I ever coached.
Yeah, and everybody stayed for that game, and it was a standing ovation, and they were the fans had a good feel for next year and all that.
We'd get season seats, but they disliked me so much. And I remember Arthur Imperator. He says, well, this has been going on too long. I must have been nuts. You know, all I had to do was say, well, you know, and I fired right back. And yeah, you're right. You do what you have to do. Don't worry.
He did it over the phone.
Did it over the phone.
I remember he kept saying, you know, Don, I worry about Rose and Tim and Cindy.
Oh,
that was the owner.
Oh, he worried about your family.
And much time we have to go through that one. That is great. And I said, "Don't worry about Rose. I'll take care of Rose." No, why don't I?
Well,
he was Italian too.
He was Italian, and he liked Mom. Was Italian.
And he liked her.
He really liked Mom.
Yeah. Someday we'll go through that one. All right.
So anyway, we'll wrap this one up, and then on Thursday's edition, we are going to talk about one of your favorite coaches.
Pat Burns, and talk about him. Boy, he won the Coach of the Year in 3 different cities. Nobody will ever do that again.